This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Monday's headlines and the major story on Capitol Hill and really throughout Washington. Day one of the Senate Judiciary Committee confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Judge Sonia Sotomayor. For most of the day, the nominee said absolutely nothing and sat politely and listened to all members of the Senate Judiciary Committee give their opinions on her, the law, previous cases, other Supreme Court justices, and pretty much anything else they had on their mind. The man opening the committee and chairing the whole series of hearings this week is Vermont Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont.
She has a deep understanding of the real lives of Americans and the duty of law enforcement to help keep Americans safe and the responsibility of all of us to respect the freedoms that define America.
Every single Democratic member of the committee made it quite clear they've already decided that Sotomayor is worthy of a slot on the Supreme Court. But Republicans, while holding their powder when it comes to which way they will vote, say they definitely want some answers to some very critical questions. The top Republican on the committee, Jeff Sessions of Alabama, laid down a marker for Judge Sotomayor on the standard for confirmation in his opinion.
In the American legal system, courts do not make law or set policy, because allowing unelected officials to make law would strike at the heart of our democracy.
Committee Democrats strongly supporting and defending Sonia Sotomayor, saying that she's got more experience on the federal bench than just about any other nominee in the history of the Supreme Court. They also say her caseload work over the years shows that she has a respect for precedent and is not one to legislate from the bench. Many on the Republican side aren't so sure. They point to comments she's made that suggest potentially a racial bias, in which she suggested that a wise Latina should bring more experience and make better decisions than a white male on the bench. Sotomayor is also sure to get plenty of questions over the next couple of days about the Ricci case. That is the case out of New Haven, Connecticut, in which white firefighters were denied promotions because city officials deemed that the test was inadequate since not enough minorities also qualified for promotions. The Supreme Court, just a couple of weeks ago, by a 5-4 decision, reversed Sotomayor, who had voted to uphold the decision of New Haven to deny those promotions to the white firefighters. On to the rest of the comments from the senators now, and Rhode Island Democrat Sheldon Whitehouse used a lot of his time to attack the current makeup of the Supreme Court, particularly Chief Justice John Roberts.
A well-respected legal commentator has recently reported that, and this is a quote, in every major case since he became the nation's 17th Chief Justice, Roberts has sided with the prosecution over the defendant, the state over the condemned, the executive branch over the legislative, and the corporate defendant over the individual plaintiff. Some umpire.
That's a reference to John Roberts during his confirmation hearings back in 2005, in which he says the role of a Supreme Court justice is to call balls and strikes, to do so objectively and not, again, legislate from the bench. There was a defender for Chief Justice Roberts, namely Oklahoma Republican Senator Tom Coburn.
I also wanted to note that I thought this was your hearing, not Judge Roberts' hearing, and that the partial birth abortion ban was a law passed by the United States Congress and was upheld by the Supreme Court. So I have a different point of view on that.
Senator Whitehouse had attacked Chief Justice Roberts for upholding a Bush administration ban on partial birth abortion. He also attacked the court's 5-4 decision back in 2008 on repealing Washington, D.C.'s handgun ban. But finally, around 3 o'clock Eastern time on Monday, the nominee actually got to speak for herself. And one of the first things she tried to stress was her judicial philosophy.
In the past month, many senators have asked me about my judicial philosophy. Simple. Fidelity to the law. The task of a judge is not to make law. It is to apply the law.
Sotomayor also says that she only serves impartial justice.
Throughout my 17 years on the bench, I have witnessed the human consequences of my decisions. Those decisions have not been made to serve the interests of any one litigant, but always to serve the larger interest of impartial justice.
And while the issue is sure to come up a lot over the next 2 days of questioning from members on the Judiciary Committee, Judge Sotomayor also made brief reference to the notion of empathy on the bench.
My personal and professional experiences help me to listen and understand, with the law always commanding the result in every case.
Stay with RadioAmerica.org and WorldNetDaily.com over the next several days for all the latest developments and the key statements and questions in the Sonia Sotomayor confirmation process. Also today, President Obama selecting Dr. Regina Benjamin to be the new U.S. Surgeon General. That will require Senate confirmation, of course. During her introduction at the White House Rose Garden, Dr. Benjamin emphasized that she wants to make sure that every patient is taken care of and is serviced well as the nation's healthcare system gets reformed.
I want to ensure that no one falls through the cracks as we improve our healthcare system.
And the president says he believes he's definitely picked the right person for this job.
Regina Benjamin also represents what's best about healthcare in America. Doctors and nurses who give and care and sacrifice for the sake of their patients. Those Americans who would do anything to heal a fellow citizen.
It's going to be a busy week for President Obama. In addition to today naming his nominee to be the next Surgeon General of the United States and keeping an eye on the Supreme Court confirmation hearings over on Capitol Hill, the president is also making another strong and very public push for his brand of health care reform. The move comes as the president returns from his trip to Europe and Africa and sees poll numbers swinging away from him on this critical issue. The latest Rasmussen survey now shows more Americans opposed to health care reform as it currently stands than favor it. That is a reversal of several points in just a week's time. But it's not just the public the president needs to convince. Many moderate to conservative Democrats are also increasingly leery as they see how a positive vote on this package could mean negative results at the polls in November of 2010. Also on the economy, the president is saying it's important to stay the course and wait for his massive $787 billion stimulus plan to have an impact. Many lawmakers are saying that after several months, it's clear that the stimulus package is not doing much good. Among those in that camp, Arizona Senator John Kyle.
He promised to create save 4 million jobs. We've now lost another 2 million jobs. Unemployment is 2 points higher than it was when the president took office.
Kyle's the number two Republican in the Senate. The number two Democrat is Dick Durbin of Illinois. He says you got to give this thing more time to work.
It's a two-year plan, and we're 4 months into it. The Republicans resisted President Obama's efforts to put together the stimulus package, and at the time that he made the proposal, our economy was in free fall.
Meanwhile, a group of presidential advisors is issuing predictions about the nation's job market over the next 5 to 10 years. The report from the President's Council of Economic Advisors foresees the trend of increasing health care employment will continue and says the number of jobs in professions such as nursing and physical therapy will also increase. Manufacturing jobs are predicted to moderate their decades-long decline. One bright spot in the manufacturing employment picture involves industries including aerospace and pharmaceuticals, which are expected to enjoy growth in the coming years. The advisors also foresee recovery in the construction industry, with demand greatest for skilled workers such as electricians and plumbers. Overall, the economist said jobs that require additional education or special training will experience more growth than those that employ unskilled laborers. Again, this coming from the president's own advisors. And on the national security front, Republicans and Democrats at each other again over what the CIA told Congress and if what they told them was true. Over the weekend, a report in the New York Times suggested that former Vice President Dick Cheney specifically ordered the CIA not to brief Congress on a plan targeting al-Qaeda leaders. Critics of Cheney say that is a clear violation of the law, while defenders of the former VP say Congress authorized the CIA to develop such a plan, and one was never actually implemented. Stay tuned for more details on this unfolding story throughout the week as well. And finally on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials up 185 points on Monday to close at 8332, the S&P 500 up 22 to 901, and the NASDAQ up 37 points to 1793, oil down another 20 cents to $59.69 per barrel. That's a look at Monday's news. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.